Thank you for tuning in to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I'm your host, Monique Davis-Dotson, and I have two very special guests with me by the name of Jeff and Gwen Turner. Now, this is a really special interview because these two wonderful individuals happen to be my aunt and my uncle. And they have such a beautiful relationship, the chemistry and the love. I'm sitting here in front of them now, and I just feel just love everywhere. It's so strong, and it's a beautiful thing. And since Valentine's Day is on Friday, I wanted them to share what it takes to have such a loving relationship and a marriage that has lasted for 22 years. Thank you both for joining me at the mic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So both of you met in Milwaukee, but you weren't born in Milwaukee. Aunt Gwen, where were you born?
Camden, Arkansas.
And what about you, Uncle Jeff?
Mississippi.
So you guys migrated to the big city. I would say moving to Milwaukee, parents moved for a better opportunity. Would that be correct?
That is correct.
Yes. Yeah. Both of you were married before, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about those marriages, just a tad.
Well, with my first marriage, I was very young, mm-hmm. had five babies by my first husband, mm-hmm. and actually I was a baby myself raising kids.
Right, right.
That marriage, it was hard.
Yeah.
In the beginning I thought that this is what every young girl wants, mm-hmm. you know, a husband, babies, and you want to be like mom and dad. You know, you've seen your parents married and happy, and I mm-hmm. thought that I was going to have that same thing.
Right.
Unfortunately, I did not, mm-hmm. but I'm blessed with the babies that God blessed as well.
Yeah. And that's awesome to be able to know, because I think about this, you know, you and I talk all the mm-hmm. time, because she is just, I just love her to death. She's like my other mom. She raised me practically, and so we have a really tight bond. So we have a lot of good girl talk, mother-daughter conversations, aunt-niece conversations. And one of the things that that we relate to is getting married at such a young age. Mm-hmm. You really don't know who you are yet as a woman. Mm-hmm. It's kind of scripted of, okay, what you think you should be. You know, and you fall into that. When did you know that the marriage was no longer beneficial for both parties to be in it? Because the marriage, you know, when you're in a relationship, it's not working, not only for one, but for the other. Mm-hmm. Sometimes as women, we'll just keep fighting because we're trying to keep the family together. When did you know for yourself that you had done all you could in that relationship to the point where I need to make a decision to leave?
As you say, we keep fighting. Mm-hmm. Women, we fight. We are really strong.
Yeah.
And I knew long before I got out of it. Mm-hmm. But I kept fighting. Right. And I kept hoping and I kept wishing.
Yeah.
You know, that something could happen where the relationship would work out.
And that's not a bad thing, right? Because right. when we say I do, we really mean mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. But we can also ignore some of the things that aren't positive to make the relationship work. So you yes. had gotten to that point where you knew, but you stayed a little bit longer.
I did.
Yeah.
Much longer than what I should have.
Yeah. I tell people this all the time, and there's no disrespect because I get along very well with my ex, but I do say I overstay my welcome. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that for me, when sometimes you at somebody's house and they won't turn the lights out, like, mm-hmm. okay, when y'all leaving? Like, and you still sitting here talking and just like, when are you going to turn the lights back on, right? And you kind of overstay your welcome, and that's for your own heart. Like, my heart takes so much. Like, after a while, for us to be able to move to a better place, staying in this place isn't working. So you do need to turn those lights out and kind of move on. It's kind of how I see it a little bit. So you knew after a while in trying to fight for this that it was time to move on.
Well, it really wasn't so much of me staying there fighting for myself. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the kids.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Most women do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about the kids. So yeah. I really went through a lot Mm-hmm. I sacrifice a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So many little details I can go into to tell you about it, but yeah. I sacrifice a lot for my kids, but I got to the point where I just couldn't take anymore.
Yeah.
I was very unhappy.
Yeah.
So it's like two people live in a house together that's not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you pulling to the left and the other person's pulling to the right,
mm-hmm.
and you not coming together in the middle, it's not going to work
right.
at all.
Right.
So the best thing for the kids, because by them seeing parents miserable and, you know, bickering at each other and not happy, and they can sense when you're not happy.
That is so true.
It's time to go.
Yeah.
It's time to go.
And to transition to a different definition of what family or that particular relationship is going to be. Like you, the romance is done, right?
Yeah.
So now where can we coexist because we have children together? And I think that for some of us now, I am a person who is a diehard, hopeless romantic. I believe in the institution of marriage,
mm-hmm.
but I think going through my own divorce, I learned that I would rather show my children what this friendship, family, relationship we have now than sitting in a relationship pretending everything is okay and giving them a false definition of or a false presentation of what love or marriage is.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing I know, kids, they're pretty smart.
Oh, yes.
And I could not be the mother that I am and tell my kids that this is what love or marriage looks like. I'm contradicting what love should be about. And that's no, like I said, even for my ex, I want him to be fully authentic in himself, and I want it to be fully authentic in myself. And to say, hey, this isn't working, where can we get together so it'll work? So these kids can see something positive instead of something negative.
That's great.
Yeah.
I didn't have that in my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
My first marriage.
Mm-hmm.
With mine, it was calling names,
mm-hmm.
you know, we then become friends for years.
For years. And so some people do, you know, a lot of people say that Santana and I have this unicorn type of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, are you serious? You share holidays together, you know. And I'm not saying everything is perfect, okay? I don't want to ever act like, oh, everything is great. I don't agree with him with some things, and
mm-hmm.
it could be vice versa. Who knows? But he should agree with me, I'm just saying. But anyways, but the thing about us, we get along.
That's
you know,
great.
We really get along. And I knew that the family part was really important for my kids to see something positive. And he became a participant of it. He didn't have to,
mm-hmm.
but he did. So, and I, so people ask, sometimes they ask my children, are your parents divorced? Like, you know, they sit at the games by one another. You know, it was a little
mm-hmm.
bit of a transition part to get there, but it didn't take long because, you know, you got to have an adult at the table to say,
yes.
this is what we're going to do.
That's true.
Right? So you guys didn't speak. Y'all didn't have that camaraderie for years.
No. He was angry because I decided enough was enough.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to turn the kids against me.
Wow.
So, but with God
mm-hmm.
beside me, he worked it out.
Yeah.
So today I can say we can talk.
That's good.
We can talk to each other.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Yeah. That's positive. What about you, Uncle Jeff? How was your marriage and I guess the reason it didn't last, which it was because it wasn't supposed to, because y'all were supposed to get together. But in that marriage, what was and you share children with your ex-wife. Give us a little bit about your experience in your first marriage.
Well, my first marriage, I was very young and I thought what was love, it wasn't love. It was more or less like, as my wife would say, lust.
Mm-hmm.
More or less like lust,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she wanted the marriage to work, but I knew after a while I didn't, that
mm-hmm.
wasn't what I wanted. You know, we had two kids together, but I knew that I didn't, you know, want to be there with her, but she did everything that she possibly could to try to get me to stay. But why stay in a relationship and you're not happy, you know?
Right.
You know, I got married very young, right out of high school. after I joined the military, then I came back and we got married. And, mm-hmm. and like I said, it was just more or less like a, you know, sex thing, lust thing, or whatever, you know.
Right.
And it wasn't, you know, love. And today, with my wife, Gwen, is that I know that I have to put God first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. I didn't have God. I was young, you know, wild and crazy and just did things that, you know, I shouldn't have been doing at that time.
Yeah. And then I would say, and you can let me know if this is correct, being young and getting married right out of high school and then going to the military and then coming back to get married, do you think that that kind of like going to the military and seeing things like I could die, did that kind of push you towards making that decision a lot sooner than you would have?
Yeah, it did, because I knew that, you know, by me being in the military, and then I seen a lot of different things, and I just didn't want to, you know, it's kind of like, I guess, you know, being a police officer, how,
mm-hmm.
you know, people being married and they don't know if they're going to see the husband or wife right. coming home again at right. night and stuff, you know, with what they go through. So I knew that, you know, and like I said, she tried her best, but there was just things, you know, that we didn't get along, you know, and we argued a lot, you know, and I just got tired of it.
You got
and
tired
I told her that, you know, I wanted a divorce. She didn't want a divorce. You know, mm-hmm. she tried to do, like you said, women's fight. She tried to do everything she could to hold on to me, but I knew that wasn't what I wanted.
And I'm going to say this to the listeners, and what I think is really important. I believe that people should be totally authentic with where they are in life. And I also believe it's how you do it. So if you're in a relationship and it's not working and you're like, listen, we need to sit at the table because I need to be honest with you, because if I'm not, I'm just kind of leading you on to make you think something that everything is okay when it's really not. And I believe that you end up hurting an individual more when you cannot be honest with them. And for you to say, I knew that something wasn't right. This was a lustful relationship. I was so young. I was in the military. I wanted to do right as a man, because that's why I asked her to marry me. But with all of those things, and I know that the lust superseded my relationship with God, because I hadn't even found that yet. And so to be able to say that and to know that even at a young age, you know, is admirable, to be able to know it, because you freed that person of being in a relationship with someone who was more awakened or aware of what your true feelings were. And sometimes people don't do that and they stay stuck and they stay miserable. You know, so I give you that. And I can say that to you because I talk to a lot of men, and a lot of men get into the obligatory relationships because they don't want to be judged. You know, they want to do the right thing. And then they kind of get stuck and they don't want to hurt the girl. They don't want to hurt the girl. That's never the intent. But it ends up being the intention when they cannot be communicative and very honest with their own feelings. And so to do that as a man and as a woman, we have to be able to, in my opinion, allow people free rein to be authentic and honest and not judge them. Will a person be hurt? Yeah. But I would rather be hurt in the short term than the long term, mm-hmm. to know that I didn't gave up all these years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I commend you for that. And I hope that more men and women can be honest, and we can also be a little less judgmental. And you did this to me, did this, whatever. If you know, we can't do that if we want to have a real honest relation, a grown up relationship, whatever it may be.
And I think in any relationship, communication with each other is so important.
Mm-hmm.
I find a lot of some of my friends has said to me, you know, I tried to talk to him. He refused to talk.
Yeah.
He walked right out.
Yeah.
Don't want to listen. And if you can't have that communication with each other and that understanding with each other,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to work.
It's not.
I don't care if you boyfriend, girlfriend,
yes,
husband, wife. It's not going to work.
Whatever. Yeah.
And my husband and I, we said to each other that honesty, I have to have that. You know, let's be honest with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want no false, you know, you're going to say something and then that's not how you feel in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you know it's going to hurt me or not, I prefer you to be honest,
mm-hmm,
you know, to me. And that's what Jeff and I do sometimes. And we don't have a perfect marriage. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
I get on his nerves sometimes and he get on mine. I'm not going to put butter on his toast. And he say, I didn't want that butter on my toast. But I might say, no, that make it taste even better. And I might just do it anyway. But it's no relationship perfect.
No.
You know, whenever I hear people say, oh, my God, we have such perfect relationship,
mm-hmm,
then I know that they're not honest.
Mm-hmm.
But he and I learn to respect each other.
Yeah.
And he's right. Number one is God.
Mm-hmm.
We put God before anything else.
That's strong. That's strong. So mm-hmm, you're saying God, communication, and respect are the three most important ingredients for a long-lasting relationship.
I think so.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think for me and part of my relationship with my ex, the communication wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
It just, and I know that's, you know, a priority, especially for me, because I'm a talker and a communicator. And he was not as communicative. And he's admitted that, you know, as we have healed, that he was not as communicative. And that is, I definitely agree with you. You need that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about that communication, Uncle Jeff? Oh, yes, please do.
Let me say one more thing. My husband, in the beginning, we had problems with that.
With the communication?
Yes.
Okay.
And as you know, we come from a family where we do a lot of talking.
Yes, we do, Lord.
And my husband is the opposite. You know,
he probably was like, oh, Lord. Mm-hmm.
Now, I think since they have got older, I find them where they talk a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's just about me around my in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to sort of help him with that.
Yeah, but he wanted to be a willing participant in order to communicate. You know, and when you have a relationship with someone, mm-hmm, you say, hey, I need this from you, and that person can say, I need this from you.
Exactly.
You can either ignore it or you can become a participant. And it doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, hit the mark at 100%. But if you're showing some effort,
right,
then you know you're moving in the right direction,
right?
How did you have to overcome non-communicative ways in order to communicate with your wife to meet her at her request and her needs? How did you do that?
Well, just like my wife said, I didn't come from a family that talked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But when I met Gwen, her family talked a lot. I mean, a lot, I have to say. But through me putting God first and my wife constantly, I mean, she constantly stood by my side. I mean, through some things that, you know, most women's probably saying, hey, no, I'm not gonna,
mm-hmm,
you know, stand by his side. But she's been by my side. She's my backbone, you know, like they say, behind every successful man is a successful woman, you know, a strong woman. And she's been there. And because I love her and I feel like she was God sent to me, you know, she's like an angel. And she believes in her vows, you know, her marriage, and it just made me, because I know I want to be with her and I love her, it just made me want to, you know, communicate with her more. And I'm still in the learning process. I still haven't got there like where she's at, but I'm much better. And by communicating and putting God first, you know, that's the best thing. You can work through anything.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's strong. That's powerful. And she's over here blushing. That's strong. But again, you need to have someone to say, I want to participate and show that effort, yes, in order for it to work. So it seems like you guys are really best friends.
He is my best friend.
He is.
He's my best friend. He's my lover, my husband. He's all of that.
He's
a bag of chips.
So tell me, you two lovebirds, how did you guys meet?
We was working at the same job. We met at JCPenney's warehouse in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I have to honestly say, when we first met, Gwen, she didn't care for me. She said I was too pushy, you know.
Oh, really?
Being in the military, she said I was always acting like a drill sergeant, all bossy.
Oh, really?
So we had to we had to work through that. But
so what happened? So you were coworkers.
Yes.
So you thought he was a bossy coworker? Is that what it was?
They sort of put him like in charge.
So he was like the manager supervisor.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I know she used to always cut his eyes for me. And I used to say to myself, "Ugh, you keep on looking at me for? I'm doing my job right."
Right.
Yeah, he was very pushy.
She said that I was just more or less too pushy. She said, you know, how I used to talk like, you know, like I was still in the military.
He did.
You
know, she's shaking her head like he did. What do you think, Uncle Jeff? Were you like... What do you think now,
I mean,
as you look back?
When I think back, because she always tell me that I will make a good boss, because, mm-hmm, you know, I, you know, love to tell people what to do or whatever, but, you know, I think it's kind of the same, vice versa. I think she'll make a good boss. But, you know, we worked through it. I have to say, I think I was kind of a little pushy, you know, and then too, how, you know, how I talked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people didn't quite understand me, how I talk. My wife, she does. Sometimes certain things that I say, I might say it a little snappy like,
mm-hmm,
and she was like, "God, he talking like that?" You know, and she didn't care for it. So I had to kind of like, you know, watch myself with her.
But when did you know? When did you know, like, I think I like her. I think I want to ask her out.
The first time when I first seen her.
When you first saw her.
When I first saw her.
Oh, okay.
I used to give her rides home, and I used to bring her, from McDonald's. I used to bring her eggnog from McDonald's.
Oh, she liked eggnog. How did you know that she liked eggnog?
Well, she told me.
She told you.
She told me.
So you guys became friends at work?
Yes.
Okay, so you became friends enough where she needed a ride, you can get her a ride, mm-hmm, or you're going to, okay, we're going through McDonald's and she ordered this and I noticed it, so if I'm going to bring it to her next time, because now you in that, like, I'm going to try to win this lady over because I think I like her. Is that how it was?
Well, you know, she Gwen is a very honest person, godly person, and she told me that at the time, you know, she was still, you know, going through a divorce, I think, at that time. So, you know, I kind of held back a little bit, you know.
Because y'all are friends, just have a conversation. Okay, I got you. Well, let me ask you, hold on 1 second. Let me pause because Dimple's over here. So, did you like him?
No.
You didn't like him. You just liked him as your friend, your coworker.
I did notice that he was... liking me.
You didn't like him in like a romantic way.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's where we, okay.
No. Only just as a person I see every day and, you know, go home and next day see him again, that's about it.
Okay. Do you think that you, because you were going through your divorce, that...
So the reason he was giving me a ride home, mm-hmm, is because he was dropping off 3 more other coworkers.
Okay.
So that's why I decided to get a ride with him. One of the females said, "Well, hey, you know, he's gonna drop me off, and you live close to me, so ask him for a ride."
Okay.
So that's how they came.
That's
out.
How. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if it was a one-on-one.
Oh no. Not at that time. No.
Okay. So when did it shift? When did you see him in a different likeness?
Well, it was quite a while. He's and I became best friends.
You became best friends.
Yeah, my girlfriend, you know, like.
Yeah, okay.
He was just a friend. And he would tell me, because it's like he always want to make sure I was the last person when he drops off at home. So, you know, you're in the car, you're talking, and yeah. You just tell me things he's going through. I share some of my personal
information
with him.
Okay.
So we just got closer and closer, and I realized that he was a nice person, but I knew that I was not going to tolerate that tone of voice.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very pushy voice, mm-hmm. and I guess because he's in the service and he was a sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was like turn off for you. You couldn't get past that. It took a minute. Okay,
but I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I did take time out with him.
Yeah.
And I had to let him know that I was the type of female that not going to have that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me gentle, you mm-hmm. know. So
especially going through divorce and coming mm-hmm. out of a marriage where you felt like your voice was not heard.
Mm-hmm.
That was seems like it needed to be established for you. Like, okay, I don't like that. Because when you come out of a relationship, a lot of times you don't like something, but you kind of suppress it. But then when you come out of it, it's like, I didn't like that, and I'm not going back to that.
I think it's because also it was a red flag for me. Because him talking that way to me, mm-hmm. I just got a relationship with
right,
someone.
Exactly.
You know, so I wasn't going to have that.
Right. Okay.
But as time went on, and he proved to me that, hey, I can change my tone of voice if I want to. And so he did.
So you became best friends, basically, because you're sharing information and probably encouraging one another through your situations, and you work together. So when did you know you liked him?
I started noticing very kind-hearted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like he was so concerned about what I liked and what I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
When I did decide to go on a date with him, I think our first date was a movie.
Okay.
He opened the car door for me.
Mm-hmm.
And
which I still do.
Chivalry is alive and well.
Yes, he still do. And I've been knowing her since 1988.
Wow.
So still, I get car doors open.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is an awesome husband.
Seems like he's still your boyfriend.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
He truly is.
That's good. Mm-hmm. They are like looking at each other, guys. This is so cute.
Yes, okay. You know, and I find a lot of, I don't know, to me it's like this. When you first meet someone,
mm-hmm.
stay the way you were when you first met that person.
Yeah.
You know, I keep myself a certain way. Number one, for myself.
Okay, so you're saying the way you met him, or the way you went on that first date, where you got yourself together and looked nice and what have you, you still feel like you're going out on a date with him pretty much every day?
Every day.
Okay.
Every day.
Okay.
And when I first met him,
mm-hmm.
I like to see my husband keep himself groomed.
Mm-hmm.
Get some fingernails clean and all that. Get that hair shaken. And that's what I like. A lot of people, they just, once they get someone, it's like, okay, they got that person, and they just let themselves go.
You're saying they don't put the effort in that. Okay.
And it shouldn't be that way. I'm like, I want you just like I've met you.
Mm.
You know, and I'm sure you feel the same way about me.
Okay. All right. How do you feel about that, Uncle Jeff? Because you know people get married, well, we're married now and this is just me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's not that you're saying don't be comfortable with who you are.
Right.
You know, you have kids and they run around and you may not be able to put on some lipstick that day. And you don't want that to change the dynamic of the relationship because you couldn't do that because life happens and life changes, you know, if you're ill or sick. But I think what I hear you say is that same feeling or that same excitement, not so much maybe even the physical part, but that same effort and intensity of having a chivalry or you saying, hey, I can get his coffee mm-hmm. in the morning because I started that.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we're married, why am I supposed to just stop?
Exactly.
And that's
exactly.
what I hear you saying. And I do agree with you that some people I mean, I have friends too. They get married and then they kind of take that person for granted. And I don't believe that we should do that. So I can agree with that.
I'm not talking about walking around with high heels on.
Oh, no, I don't think that. Yeah.
I mean, I can have a t-shirt on and a white t-shirt and still the cute comb hair.
Yeah, but I get it. I get what you're saying, you know. So I don't want anybody to take that out of context. It's just saying when you meet somebody, still have that same excitement. Still have that same, you know, expression of love that... And for yourself, I mean, when we go on a date, we don't, like you said, I'm not going on a date with a whole bunch of rollers in my head. I want to look good. Yeah, so I get that. So that helps keep that excitement or that young love aspect going on with y'all's relationship. Yeah.
It's, to me, a relationship is like, you know, a job. You know, you go to work every day and you do what you can, you know, to keep that job. If you if you really like that job, you're going to do what you can to try to keep that job. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing with my wife. You know, it's like, hey, you got to work at it. You know, you can't just, you know, just throw it to the side. So if you want it to work, you're going to work at it just like you do at your job. You know, you're going to try to keep everything going the way it was when you first met each other. And it's not going to always be peaches and cream, you know, but as long as you put God first in everything that you do, and I feel that, you know, there's nothing that you can't do, me and her, you know, together.
To this day, I have to say, to this day, you know, we still go to movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not a couch potato guy. He likes his westerns. He loves to watch his westerns.
And you watch it with him, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I used to not care for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do it now. And you know, and we just do things together.
So that quality time spent together continues to allow the relationship to grow and in a good loving environment, it seems. So basically what you guys are saying, so listeners, that you can have a second chance at love if a marriage did not go all the way that you thought that it would go, based on those various reasons that you become awakened to the reality of that particular relationship and with that person, that true love is out there because I'm actually looking at it, okay? And that I really am, and it's so inspiring, you know, me being a divorced person, like, you know, you get to the place, well, does it really, you know, does it really exist? And I know it does, but you know, sometimes you're like, okay, you know, do I feel like going through this? Do I feel like sharing my heart with somebody or what have you all over again? And I'm not afraid to do that because I get encouraged when I'm sitting in front of people like you who, like, it's real, it's authentic. Yes, it's out there, you know, just look at us. And it's encouraging. And then to be able to say, even after the previous marriages with the exes, that you can come together for the sake of the children.
Yeah.
That seems to be really important. Yes. And most important is, of, like you said, if God is the priority of that relationship and that union, from both parties, you should have great success.
You know, I want to say this, that, you know, my wife, and the reason why I know that she do love me because she is a godly person, is that when she, every time she leaves out this house, you know, she get propositions, and I don't mean just from any, you know, she can go to the corner store, she can go to the gas station or to, you know, to the bank, and she constantly got guys trying to talk to her, and she comes back, she tells me about it. And, you know, I know that she loves me, you know, and that she's God sent. And if she wasn't a godly person, most women are probably like, hey, you know, but he acted like this last night or he did this, you know, hey, I'm going to take this person up on that, you know, on that offer. You know, even her, you know, sometime being at work, guys, you know, just, you know, constantly, you know, trying to talk to her.
Try.
So, you know, I have to honestly say that I have a beautiful wife, you know, and I love her to death. Like you said, we was friends before we became lovers. What about you?
laughing? They're so cute. Because she's blushing about, you told, you said that on air. But you know what? I think that is the beauty of having a relationship where you can be honest and let that person know. Like, this is my best friend. I would tell my girlfriend, like, girl, this guy trying to talk to me or what have you. And I had to turn him away. It's just having conversation. And she's telling her best friend, you know, this idiot tried to talk to me and I had to put him in his place. And it's an acknowledgement of that. I am so happy to be with you. Yes. That I don't want anyone but you. Because I'm sure you have women, you know, women are blind. They see a good thing in a man who loves his wife and they want that for themselves. So it goes both ways. And for him to be able to say the same thing to you, and there's not a threat, you know, or the jealousy, like, because when you can talk about it, you trust the person. When you can't talk about it, then you have an issue.
You are so right.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, that you're not afraid to say it to him or you're not afraid to say it to her without being judged. Did you do this? Or did you do that? It's just understood that we're just best friends and I'm just telling you about my day, but I'm here to stay with you and vice versa. And I think that's really powerful to be able to say that. A lot of people don't have that.
Well, I think that is so true, Monique, what you're saying. But I love him very much. He is my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if I see a guy who looked like, oh my God, he's so fine, like he stepped out of a magazine. I don't want you. I got somebody.
Yeah.
I'm pleased with who God placed in my life. He's a good man, and he has showed me over and over how much he loves me.
That's beautiful.
And I love him.
That's
very
rare.
Much.
I love it. I love it. As we get ready to come to a close, or give our listeners a couple of words. What did you learn about who you are then to who you are now in this particular marriage or this union?
Well, with me, I have learned that, yes, I do deserve respect.
Mm.
And yes, I do deserve love.
Mm-hmm.
And that never, ever shortchange myself, staying somewhere where I'm not happy.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that pain that I experienced years ago shouldn't have never occurred.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also can say, well, hey, I thank you, God, for allowing me to experience that. Because I look and see what I have now, what you have blessed me with.
Right.
You know, so much love.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's good to walk through a dark road, and at the end, you see light. And that darkness is gone now. It's light. So I can see better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm older, I'm wiser, and I can see better.
Right.
So I don't have to go back down that dark road anymore because I know what I need to do. Go forward.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you. And sometimes those life lessons of pain, they draw out or help us realize what we don't want. Because like if you don't go through it, you really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't know.
You have to go through it to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. To know, you know. I feel my heart go out to some of my friends that's still in a relationship where they going through what I used to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to encourage them, tell them, you know, we are God's children and he wants us to be happy.
Mm-hmm. That is so beautiful what you said, because I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to say this really quickly. When I was going through my divorce and, you know, trying to hold on to this or what have you, and I said this before on a previous show, and, you know, I talked to my pastor, and he was like, sis, you know, it's enough. But for when you said that God wanted his children to be happy, it took a Catholic priest, my ex is Catholic, and we got married in Catholic Church in New Orleans, which you know. But I was trying to find answers because I still was trying to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew, but I'm strong as, you know, I come from a lineage of strong people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just in me. And I had called this out of the blue. I'm like, so I called the priest where we did our marital class. And he said to me, and this really freed me. It changed me. He says, God does not want his children to be unhappy. And he told me that. And I don't know from all the other conversations, from all the therapists, whatever, mm-hmm. nothing really resonated with me to free me until he said that. Because I'm thinking, man, that's true, because I'm so unhappy and I'm trying to fight for this and I'm trying to do all the things right, but I'm so unhappy. I wouldn't want my children unhappy. So no, I don't think God wants me unhappy. But I couldn't see it. You know, and so for you to say that just kind of resonated something with me as a confirmation. He doesn't want us to be unhappy. He does want us to fix what we can fix together and join together. No one's saying, okay, go get divorced because you unhappy because they didn't make your steak right, you know, and I got to leave. Nobody's saying that. You will go through some things together to make your union stronger.
Yes.
But you need to go through it together and to
yes.
be committed. You know, and when you know you have that, then of course you can do whatever together and be as strong as ever as a couple. But when you know that you know that you know that nothing you do is helping and is hurting you more than anybody, then at some point you have to face that reality and do know that God does not want his children unhappy.
No,
yeah.
Not.
Yeah, I believe that. What about you, Uncle Jeff? What did you learn about yourself that you can now say helped you in your marriage today?
Communication. You know, when I was previously married, we didn't have that communication. And then, like I said, I was young, you know, and, you know, I have learned that, you know, you have to be able to talk to each other about the things that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we was not able to do that. But with Gwen, you know, we can talk, communicate, which she loves talking. And like I said, we just try to keep God first. Gwen, she, her and Daisha, they put, we have Bible verses that we read. That comes on our phone for morning prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also have an evening prayer. And the relationship that my wife has with God is just, I mean, just so amazing. And I have a relationship with him too, but I want my relationship to grow more and more with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I know through him that, you know, everything is going to be all right.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what. My wife, you know, I love her to death. She's my best friend. We was together, knowing each other for 10 years before she finally said yes, she
mm-hmm.
would marry me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for that.
Well, that's beautiful. Well, you guys have definitely inspired me as well as my listeners and what true love can be. And I am very authentic, which you know me, Aunt Gwen.
Yes. I know.
And I... When I tell you that this union is real and the love is just overflowing in this room, it is really a beautiful thing. And I know that you guys are 22 years into this beautiful union. And I know it'll be 22 times 22 times 22 more beautiful years together. And I thank you, Uncle Jeff, for being a man of God, for loving my aunt the way she deserves. As well as my cousins, and just being that man of God that we all can look up to, even when we may not say it, do understand that we're watching you. So I appreciate you for that. So thank you. And Aunt Gwen, it just goes without words. So I will not sit up here and talk over and over because I'll start crying because I love you so much. And I am so happy for you to have found your best friend. Your forever mate, your soulmate, and the man of your dreams, because you deserve that kind of happiness. You've been through a lot, and you have a heck of a story that one day we may come back to the mic and share. Because Valentine's Day is on Friday, I just wanted to highlight what real love can actually look like and sound like. And so I thank both of you for joining me at the mic.
Thank you.
What a great interview with Mr. and Mrs. Turner. I truly enjoyed the conversation, and I hope that you are inspired by a second chance at love and really finding your best friend to marry, someone you can share everything with, and of understanding that God needs to come first, communication and respect. And when you have those ingredients, you can have a very successful, long-lasting relationship. Most importantly, don't ever settle until you get it. As Gwen says, God does not want his children to be unhappy. So I hope that you find that person who makes you happy. First, make yourself happy, and then find a person who can complement that happiness. Thank you for listening to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I truly appreciate you. Have a beautiful Valentine's Day on Friday, and I look forward to you joining me next week. Until the next podcast, God bless.